Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever seen a snake in the wild? Or have you ever held a snake? When I was a young girl, my brother, sister, and I sometimes caught garter snakes in our yard. We would keep them in a bucket for a while and watch them and learn about them before setting them free. Or in the case of one snake that we found, before it escaped from our bucket. My kids and I love seeing snakes when we are out hiking. And recently, while hiking with friends, one of the children that was with us spotted a snake slithering through the grass and pointed it out to us. It was a huge 4-foot bull snake. Bull snakes are beautiful, but they can also be alarming. Now, they do not have venom, but they look a lot like a very venomous snake that we have here in Colorado. Can you guess what that snake is? It is the prairie rattlesnake. We have run into many rattlesnakes while out exploring, and we have had to learn how to hike carefully in rattlesnake territory. As you might have guessed, today we are discovering God's designs in snakes. And some of the designs that we are exploring are in answer to questions from some of our listeners. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to learn, why do snakes not have feet? And why do snakes shed their skin? We will learn what is the most venomous snake, and how can snake venom teach us about God's mercy? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsor who made this lesson possible, Apologia Curriculum. Do you like to solve mysteries, but wondered how your love for science could fit into that? Forensics is using science to detect and solve crimes. You see, we can use God's designs in science and nature to help bring justice to the world. Apologia has a brand new Exploring Creation with Forensics course for high school students. Journey through crime scene investigations, fingerprint analysis, DNA evidence, and more. Pre-order the Exploring Creation with Forensics course and save 25% at the link in our show notes. And make sure to check out Apologia's award-winning science curriculum from a biblical worldview for preschool through high school at apologia.com or at the link in our show notes. All right, it's time for our trivia question. What do snakes use to smell what is around them? A, their ears, B, their tongue, C, their eyes, or D, their tail? Again, what do snakes use to smell what is around them? A, their ears, B, their tongue, C, their eyes, or D, their tail? Take a guess, or maybe you know the answer, and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, after this lesson, make sure to click over to the bonus video, where I will be showing you some videos of snakes I have encountered in the wild, including a venomous rattlesnake shaking its tail at us. We will also discover some ways to be snake aware and to stay safe while hiking in snake territory. You can find that bonus video in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. And listeners, if you would like our weekly bonus videos, lesson activity guides, nature devotions, and summer scavenger hunts, you can get all of that in the Nat Theo Club at the link in our show notes. Our first stop on today's trail map is inspired by a question from one of our listeners.
Hi, my name is Ren. I'm 5 years old. I live in New Mexico, and I want to know why snakes don't have any feet.
Thank you for your great question, Ren. Why do snakes not have any feet? Snakes are very different from many creatures that we see, and a very noticeable difference is their lack of feet. But snakes were not always this way. In God's perfect creation, in his original design, snakes had some kind of legs. Isn't that a bit funny to think about? It's difficult for us to imagine because we know snakes as creatures slithering around the ground on their bellies. Do you think that when snakes had legs, that they looked like large millipedes with a whole bunch of legs moving together? Or do you think they had four legs, kind of looking like a lizard? It's very interesting to think about. So why do snakes no longer have legs, or presumably feet? It's because Earth and God's original design is cursed and broken by sin. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, the first people, they chose to disobey God. They were tricked by a serpent or a snake into sinning or going against God's command. Does this mean that snakes are bad or evil because one tricked Eve and Adam into sinning? No. The enemy, Satan, he used the snake to do this. Satan is our true enemy, not snakes. How exactly did the serpent or the snake trick Eve? This brings up another great question from one of our listeners.
Hi, my name's Frida. I'm 7, I'm from England, and I want to know, can snakes talk?
What a great question, Frida. Can snakes talk? In Genesis, we do see a snake talking to Eve. Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Listener, can you imagine a snake talking to you? Like you're just walking through a garden or a natural area one day, and there's a snake, and it starts speaking to you.
Whoa!
That would seem downright crazy. But remember, Satan was using the snake. Satan and his workers have at times entered into a creature or a human and done their dirty work through them. So even though there is a snake talking in Genesis, snakes are not able to talk like we do. This was a situation where the enemy was talking through the snake. Because a snake was used to do this dirty work, the curse of sin fell on the snake in a very noticeable way. Listen to what God said to the serpent in Genesis 3:14. "Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live.'" Did you catch that? God said to the serpent or the snake that because it tricked Eve and Adam into sinning, it would now crawl on its belly and grovel in the dust. Or some translations say, eat the dust as long as it lives. This implies or suggests that the snake did not always crawl on its belly. It had legs or limbs of some sort that it used to get around. So the simple but hard answer as to why snakes do not have feet or legs is because a snake was used to trick Eve and Adam into disobeying God. But listener, even in the snake's broken state, cursed by sin, we see God's mercy. Do you know what that word mercy means? Mercy is not getting something that we deserve for wrongdoing, like a punishment. Now, of course, the snake was punished for what it did. But think about this. Part of that punishment was that the snake would grovel in the dust or eat the dust. Can you imagine having your face in the dust all the time? Where I live in Colorado, the ground can be very dry and dusty. Have you ever gotten dust into your eyes? It can really hurt. And I cannot imagine having my eyes down in the dusty dirt all of the time like snakes do. But God showed his mercy in how he designed snakes. You see, God gave snakes built-in glasses to protect their eyes from the dust and dirt. Snakes have special see-through eye coverings called a brill. It can also be called a spectacle. Have you ever heard people calling their eyeglasses spectacles before? It's kind of like that. A snake's brill or spectacle is a special transparent or see-through eye covering. It is disc-shaped and made from keratin, the same material found in their skin. If you have listened to past episodes of Nat Theo, you have probably heard of keratin before. Keratin is a super neat material that God created and used to make many things in nature, including hair, nails, bird feathers, claws, scales, horns, hooves, and even the outermost layer of our skin. So God showed his mercy in providing snakes with special eye coverings to protect their eyes. God knew that snakes would spend their days with their faces right in the dusty dirt of the ground. In this design, we can see that God cares about snakes. They are part of his good creation. Yes, they are a very big, visible reminder of sin's curse, but they also show God's mercy and care in their special design. Another very cool thing about a snake's protective eye covering is that they get a new set of spectacles every once in a while. Have you ever worn glasses or sunglasses only to put them on and discover that there's a large scratch down the center of them, making it difficult to see through them? That can be quite annoying to deal with. Well, can you imagine being a snake slithering around on the ground through dusty dirt and through sand and around rocks and sticks? I can imagine that they get their eyebrows or spectacles scratched up from time to time. It would be quite hard to deal with all of those scratches across their eye coverings while they are out hunting for the food that they need to eat. Thankfully, every few months or so, a snake gets a brand new set of eye coverings. This is because the brills, those eye coverings, are shed when a snake sheds its skin. Have you ever found a snake's shed skin, also simply called a shed? A snake sheds its skin through a process called ecdysis. Ecdysis is when a reptile sheds its outer layer of skin. The same ecdysis process happens when an insect sheds its outer cuticle, kind of like a shell. So it is putting off something that is old and slipping out of its skin or cuticle in order to grow a fresh new skin or cuticle. When I was growing up, we had pet snakes in our house. My mom had a pet corn snake and a python. I remember waking up some days to find old skin in their tanks. It looks like the same length and body shape of the snake, but it is a brownish color and there is no snake inside. My kids and I have sometimes discovered shed snake skins while out exploring. In fact, I found one just this week. But why do snakes shed their skin? Snakes shed their skin for the same reason that you have to go buy new clothes once in a while, because as you grow, your clothes become tighter. As a snake grows, its skin becomes tight and uncomfortable. It must shed its outer layer of skin in order to grow a new, better-fitting skin. Now that I am a full-grown adult, I don't have to go buy new clothes as often as I have to buy them for my kids who are still growing quite quickly. Just like human children grow quick and that growth slows down as you get older, the same is true for snakes. Juvenile or young snakes shed their skin much more often than adult snakes because the young snakes quickly outgrow their skin. How often a snake sheds its skin depends on the species and their environment. But typically, young snakes will shed their skin every few weeks as they are growing quickly. Once full grown, adult snakes shed their skin every few months or so. Why do adult snakes still shed their skin if they are not growing like they did when they were young? Ecdysis, or shedding old skin, is not only for growing. It also helps refresh the snake's skin, replacing old damaged skin with new skin, and helping to rid themselves of any parasites. Think about snakes slithering around on the ground all day. Their skin is prone to be damaged by rocks or sand or sticks, and they might pick up a lot of parasites on the ground, especially if they are slithering around a dirty environment or around other animals' scat, otherwise known as feces, otherwise known as poop. Ecdysis, or shedding the skin, is one way God designed snakes to do well, even as they slither around on the ground. Just like with the special Brill eye coverings, this shows God's mercy to snakes, even as they live in their cursed state without legs. Besides slithering around on the ground on their bellies, when we think about snakes, we often think about venom. DJ asked this question.
Hi, my name is DJ. I'm 11 years old and I live in Saskatchewan. I want to know, what is the most venomous snake in the world?
That is a great question, DJ. The most venomous snake in the world is most likely the inland taipan, aptly nicknamed the fierce snake. The inland taipan lives in Australia. But for all of our listeners in Australia, don't worry. The inland taipan lives in remote locations and rarely comes into contact with humans. It lives around where the southwestern Queensland border meets with northeastern South Australia in semi-arid regions, and tucked into clay crevices and burrows dug by other animals out in the floodplains. A tiny bit of venom from the inland taipan can kill a human. And the venom from one bite is enough to kill 10 adult humans. But again, they rarely come into contact with humans, which is good. What makes the inland taipan so venomous? Before we look at the unique mixture the inland taipan injects into its prey, let's consider that word venom. Is it correct to say that a snake is venomous, poisonous, or toxic? These three words might seem like the same thing, but they are a little bit different from one another. Let's look at each. We will whittle it down and get more specific as we go along. Poison is a substance that can harm or kill someone or a creature if it is taken in through your mouth, nose, or skin. Toxin is a bit more specific. It is a poisonous substance created by a living organism, such as a creature, plant, bacteria, or fungi. So it is a naturally occurring poison. Venom is even more specific. It is a toxin, so a naturally occurring poison, that is injected through a bite or sting. Here are some examples. Poison is harmful, and it could be made by mixing together chemicals in a lab. Toxin is a harmful poison not concocted in a lab, but made in the bodies of creatures or by plants. A poison dart frog would be better named a toxic dart frog. Venom is harmful, and it is injected or shot out through a snake's fangs. So the inland taipan has the most potent or powerful venom of snakes. This is because it is made from a unique mixture including neurotoxins, hemotoxins, and a special enzyme. Let's look closer at each of those ingredients and why mixing them together makes them deadly. Neurotoxins are toxins that attack and disrupt the nervous system. This means they attack the brain or nerves in a body. Hemotoxins are a different type of toxin that attacks and disrupts blood and blood vessels. Another ingredient of the inland taipan's venom is a special enzyme. An enzyme is a type of protein, kind of like a little building block, inside a body that has a special job of speeding things up. As an example, you have enzymes in your body that help speed up the digestion of food. Enzymes speed up chemical processes in the body. In the case of the inland taipan's venom, the enzyme in it speeds up the absorption of venom in a body. So it makes the victim's body soak in the venom even quicker. Brain and nerve attacking neurotoxins, blood attacking hemotoxins, and an enzyme to speed the whole process up? That is a deadly combination. But why is the inland taipan so venomous? Why do snakes have venom in the first place if they are a part of God's good creation? Remember, God's good creation is broken by the curse of sin. We see that in the snake's lack of legs and also in their venom. What we understand today as venom, it might have had a different purpose before sin cursed the world. Remember, sin's curse disrupted and broke creation. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of specifics about snake venom, but it's likely that at the curse, things like venom became harmful and deadly. Although the Bible doesn't give us a lot of specifics about snake venom, it does give us hope for when God's original good creation will be fully restored. Isaiah 11:8 talks about a time when a baby will be able to play near a cobra's hole, and a child will be able to put his hand into the nest of a poisonous snake. Can you imagine allowing a baby to play close to a cobra's den? Or letting them place their hand into the nest of a deadly snake? That sounds crazy. But the snake will no longer be poisonous. God's good creation will be made new. And things like deadly inland taipan venom will be a thing of the past. Revelation 21:5 says, "The one who was sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" Listener, let's keep looking forward to the day when we will get to explore God's new, wild, and wonderful world and see it as He always meant it to be. How can we make sure that we get to adventure in that new, wild, and wonderful world? By making sure that we have trusted Jesus as our Savior. Have you ever done that? Do you know how to do that? Remember, we talked about God's mercy and how mercy is not getting something that we deserve, like a punishment. Jesus came to earth to die in our place and take our punishment for sins. You see, we have all done wrong things that separate us from God. But God, in His great mercy, made a way for us to be with Him through Jesus dying in our place and taking our punishment for sin and then rising to new life. Romans 10:9 to 10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. We believe with our hearts, and so we are made right with God. And we declare with our mouths that we believe, and so we are saved." Listener, if we declare that Jesus is Lord, and we believe that God raised Him from the dead, and we turn from our sins to follow Jesus as our Savior, then we are saved. And we can know that we will get to spend eternity with God in His new creation. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners, and we are going to jump from one dangerous animal to another. Here's today's question.
My name's Grayson. I'm 6 years old. I live in Texas. Why are lions called the king of the jungle when they don't live in the jungle?
That is a great question, Grayson. Why are lions called the king of the jungle when they don't live in the jungle? The English word jungle comes from an old word from the country of India. That word is jungla, which means wild land or wilderness or uncultivated land. India has real jungles with thick trees, and that's where tigers live. The term king of the jungle was improperly given to the lion, since lions do not live in the jungle. Instead, some consider tigers to be the true kings of the jungle. Lions have another special name that seems to be better fitting, king of the beasts. Lions are an apex predator, which means that they are at the top of the food chain. Other animals do not hunt them. Lions also look and act kingly. Male lions have big furry manes that look like a crown. Their roar is so loud that animals very far away can hear it. They also bravely protect their pride family when attacked. People think that lions act like real kings. They are bold and powerful. So we could more fittingly call them King of the Beasts. Thanks for your great question, Grayson. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure to click over at the end of this lesson to our bonus video, where I will show you videos of snakes I have encountered, including a venomous rattlesnake shaking its tail at me. We will also discover some ways to be aware and safe when hiking in snake territory. You can find that bonus video in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. All right, it's time to answer our trivia question. What do snakes use to smell what is around them? A, their ears. B, their tongue. C, their eyes. Or D, their tail? The answer is B, their tongue. Have you ever seen a snake stick out their tongue and then quickly pull it back into their mouth? They are smelling. Their tongues collect tiny scent particles, like little packets of smells. Then they pull their tongue back into their mouths and press it against a special organ called the Jacobson's organ, which sends messages to their brain to help them smell what's around them. This is just another amazing way that God has designed snakes to live well. Now it's your turn to explore. Learn about a snake that lives by you. With help or permission, do some research on a snake that lives in your area. Discover if it has venom, how long it normally lives in the wild, and what it eats. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on snakes, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world.
I simply can't deny it, that I feel adventure calling.